Worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in is called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Torso, the worship and wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. We're glad that you're with us this morning, and we're grateful to be able to have an opportunity to wish you a happy new week. At this time, on the 29th, almost, October's almost gone, we just wish you God's richest blessings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your kindness and grace, and we just ask that you will bless us. We ask that your name will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, at this time we will have our opening song, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
about the cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary, the cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary. And this is an important topic. It's very little known in Christianity, and we want to share it with you. at this time. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day, for this opportunity to pray, for this opportunity to study your word. We thank you very much in this early morning hour that we can study about this important topic. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to introduce to you a concept. It's called type and anti-type, okay? Type and anti-type. It's not like typing on a typewriter. The word type is a symbol or a figure. The anti-type is what that symbol or figure represented. There are many types in the Bible, and each type had an anti-type. For example, the Bible says in John chapter 19, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away behold the Lamb of God. Pilate said, behold the man in that verse. But John the Baptist, I believe it's in Matthew 3, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So the type was a lamb, but was the anti-type was Christ, okay? The type was the spilled blood of the animal. The anti-type was Christ spilling his blood on the cross of Calvary, okay? So there are many types, and each type had an anti-type, and it was consistent throughout Scripture, okay? The Old Testament types had a New Testament. So, for example, you will read in the Old Testament about the Feast of Pentecost or even the Feast of the Passover. And it happened in the Old Testament. The first one was when the death angel passed over if they had the blood on the doorpost. It's in Exodus 12. Well, Jesus is the Passover lamb. So in the last part of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read about the crucifixion of Christ. That allows death to pass over, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he had to give his son to die for our sin. That's type, anti-type. Passover, Jesus, death allowed death to pass over us, but we are not going to have the second death. Pentecost, they had a feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the feast of Passover. And 50 days after Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It says in the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, Acts chapter 2. So you have a type, you have an anti-type. Okay, so I just want to explain that concept. Every type must have an anti-type. Now, that being said, we've been reading Daniel chapter 8 and 9, and we explained recently in Daniel 9 that Daniel 9 was the continuation of what he had learned in Daniel 8. Gabriel had been sent to give him understanding because God had given him this time prophecy, and I'm going to read the time prophecy to you. It's in Daniel 8 and verse 14. That time prophecy said, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, if you didn't listen to yesterday's broadcast, just go, if you're on Facebook, you can go to it. It should be posted on our TORWM.org website. If you don't see it, let me know. But it's on Facebook for those of you who are on Facebook. So go there, because in the next chapter, Gabriel came back. And he explained to them what had been talked about in the previous chapter. So he was given a charge by God, Gabriel that is, to give Daniel an understanding of what it meant that unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. We talked about this yesterday. He began by saying, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to make an end of sins, to bring forth everlasting righteousness, and to anoint the most holy. So they were given a probationary time of 70 weeks. Well, we learned yesterday that in time prophecy, each day is a year. So this is 2,300 years. But in Daniel 9, that would be the first 490 years of that 2,300-year period, okay, because each day is a year. And we showed you that when year 69 came, it said Messiah would be anointed, and Jesus was anointed 483 years later after the decree to build and restore Jerusalem. We went through all that yesterday, so I don't want to take too much time. We did talk to you about the two kings of Persia who did give decrees to build, but they did not give a decree to restore the government. That means the infrastructure with a policing system and a accountability system and a financial system. Okay, it was Artaxerxes, and that was in 457 BC. So 457 BC, 483 years later, you have AD 27. That is the year that Christ was baptized. And then it said that there would be one more week, and that in the middle of the week, Messiah would be cut off. Jesus was cut off 3.5 years later. 3.5 is half of 7. And if it was 1 week, that's 7 days. That would be 7 years. Jesus died in AD 31. And then, of course, their probation ended in AD 34. That was the year that Stephen was stoned, and Saul, who became Paul, was witness to that and got his first convictions. And therefore, he became the apostle to the Gentiles. So then the Jews, as a special people, were no longer, and God said, a Jew is not a Jew which is one outwardly, meaning your nationality. A Jew is a Jew which is one inwardly. Okay? So three of those things that came to pass, in other words, there's four events. There's the anointing of Jesus, there's the death of Jesus, there's the stoning of Stephen when the gospel would be no longer when the Jews' probation would end, the gospel would go to the Gentiles and so forth. And then the final act was the cleansing of the sanctuary, four different acts. So God showed us that the first three fit the timeline, therefore the last one must fit the timeline. So 2,300 years after 457 is 1844, October 22nd. So, my brothers and sisters, because that's just when the Day of Atonement was. So, brothers and sisters, type must meet antitype. Jesus had to do something. Now, there were Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians who were reading and studying their Bible during the Feast of Trumpets. What was the Feast of Trumpets? The antitype? The type was on this particular feast, the trumpets would blow, making major announcements, so to speak. That was what they did in the Old Testament. The New Testament antitype was a great awakening. You can read it in Wikipedia. Just type in great awakening, and you will find that in the late 1700s and in the 1800s that there was a great religious awakening. People began to understand the Bible time prophecies. Wikipedia may not give you all that, but it'll tell you about the Great Awakening. But I am telling you, they began to unlock the mysteries of the 2,300-day prophecy. They began to unlock the mysteries of the 1,260-year prophecy. They began to see who the papacy was in light of end-time events. That's the Roman Catholic Church. And these were Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians. They didn't even know there was no Seventh-day Adventist at that time. And so I want to bring that out because a lot of people who reject the Seventh-day Adventist movement, okay, I'm not talking about an organization. Organizations can go bad. Organizations can refuse to help you in a pandemic. Organizations can be all about the money. Okay, organizations can miss the mark. But the movement of Seventh-day Adventism was not even in place yet because these were, well, I guess you could say it's in place, but these were Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. These weren't particularly Sabbath-keeping people. There had been no visions given to anybody that was a modern prophet at that time. I'm just here to show you that the Bible is true. It said that there would be a Feast of Trumpets, which would indicate an antitype. See, everything they did from there, they didn't actually have a January to December year, but whatever their year, fiscal year was, or whatever their year was, that whole year represented the plan of redemption. And then they would repeat it again the next year, repeat it again the next year, and it would get repeated until Jesus died on the cross. Because it was a constant reminder that they had a Savior coming and that this plan would be in place to save them. Okay? So keep that in mind. And so the antitype. Every type must have an antitype. I just gave you a few. I gave you Passover, which was the death of Christ. I gave you Pentecost, which was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Feast of Trumpets was the Great Awakening. Okay? And that actually happened. So right after the Great Awakening, there will be the Day of Atonement, okay? And so what I want to share with you before we go, remember it said, until 2,300 days or years, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. What I want to share with you now is I'm going to the book of Hebrews, okay? Where are we going? We're going to the book of Hebrews. I'm in Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, this is what it says. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after, the second veil. And see, remember, type antitype. The table of showbread, antitype, studying God's word. Altar of incense, antitype, having a life of prayer. Seven golden candlesticks, antitype, doing a life of service where you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Okay? All of it had an antitype. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So it's sanctuary with the most the holy place, which had the table of showbread, altar of incense, golden candlestick, and then there was another veil, and then the most holy place, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over the cherubims of gold, over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went also always into the first tabernacle. Now let me share with you what it meant by them being ordained. If you go, I don't remember the exact verse, but I'll find it. I may not even look for it right now, but you will read, it's around Exodus 25. Around that time, around between Exodus 25 and Exodus 40, that Moses went into the tabernacle. He went into the tabernacle and he anointed all the pieces of furniture, including the most holy place. Okay? Including the most holy place. And then Aaron began his priestly ministry. Okay? So there are some people that believe they have scripture that shows that Jesus went straight into the most holy place. He may have, but it was typified prior to him beginning his priestly ministry, okay? So that's what we're trying to share with you. So Christ went to his Father after his resurrection. Remember, Mary came to embrace him. He said, touch me not, I've not yet ascended. But then after that, he let them touch him. That means he had to have ascended. And so in the type, Moses went into the most holy place and the holy place, anointing everything to get it ready for Aaron, who would be the high priest. This would represent Jesus going to heaven right after his resurrection. If he went into the most holy place, it was not to be the high priest. It was to anoint it, meaning he would get approval from his Father that the sacrifice had been accepted. He came back down. Then he began in the holy place only as our great high priest. So I don't have any scripture to say he definitely went in there to the most holy, but if you believe you do, that doesn't violate our principles. See, some people say there's no such thing as a cleansing of the sanctuary and a Day of Atonement because Christ went in to the holy place. And they give a scripture. Maybe if their interpretation of that scripture is correct, all I can tell you is that Jesus did have to, there had to be an antitype to Moses going into the most holy place prior to Aaron being high priest. Okay, that being said, let's read on. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of his people. So this was the cleansing of the sanctuary in the Old Testament in the type. Only once a year would the high priest go into the most holy place, symbolizing that Christ would do much of his labor in the holy place, but when the investigative judgment would start in 1844, then he would move from the holy place to the most holy place. A type must have an anti-type, friends. And so people who reject this concept, they don't have an answer for what the anti-type would be of Aaron only going into the most holy place to do a work of judgment where the people had to afflict their souls. That means humble their hearts before the Lord and ask God to show them their defects, and he would reveal things, and they would confess it so that when he went in, they would there would be a proper at-one-ment, atonement, you know, for their sin. God does not save us from unconfessed sins. He only saves us from the sins that we confess. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, my brothers and sisters, you can actually read the what Aaron had to do in Leviticus chapter 16. And I'm going to read at least some of those verses. Remember, every type must have an anti-type. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with the linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take two of the goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burnt coals, of burning coals of fire. This is verse 12 of Leviticus 11. From off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. So he did some work in the outside altar, but then he would bring in the offering and present it with the light, the incense, and the smoke of the incense will go over the veil into the very presence of God. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do that with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock. And he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So he was cleaning the sanctuary of what? The record of the sins of the people. Okay? And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. So then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This is talking about the cleansing of the people of Israel. It was symbolic of Christ cleansing us. He died on Calvary that we might be saved, but we have a part to play in overcoming sin with the power that he gave us. And if we don't do it, then our sins remain. Okay? And therefore, he's doing a work of judgment to see who's accepted the gospel. That simple. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and of the altar, he shall bring the live goat and the Aaron and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. There's more to that, brothers and sisters, but this is showing that Satan will have to bear all the sins of the righteous. In other words, Jesus bore them, okay? And then as they are cleansed out of the record, they get put on Satan, and he will be punished for all the sins that righteous people have ever committed. That's why he doesn't want you saved, because he's going to have to burn for every fornication you've ever done. He's going to have to burn for every lie you committed, said. He's going to have to burn for when you yelled at people. And, of course, you've repented of all those things. You've changed. You've accepted the gospel. But the sin has to be paid for still, and Satan will pay for it, friends. And so that's why it was a live goat that was involved. So it's a beautiful concept. The plan of redemption is a beautiful plan. It does not excuse sin, but it gives power to sinners to become saints. And it gives us mercy while still maintaining justice. It's a beautiful plan. Thank God for that plan. At this time, brothers and sisters, we're not going to have a wellness segment. We have a course that we're conducting later this morning, and we have some things to do for that. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. At this time, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the cleansing of the sanctuary that is taking place right now. Probation is soon to close, Father, even as we see things happening over in Israel. We understand, as we will sometime around Thanksgiving give a series entitled Catholicism, Protestantism, Islam, and Israel, What You Need to Know Now. Father in heaven, bless us as we prepare for that series, and we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide and direct us, and we thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. God bless you, bless you, bless you. Have a wonderful day. If we can be of help, reach out to us here at Torso Ministry. At this time, we'll have our closing song entitled, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord, I will walk with the Lord, I will walk.